Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we are committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Johnny Danger and Joshua Von Wheeler. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing terrific.
Doing
glad
good,
to hear that. Johnny Danger, I know you did some other podcasts about Godzilla, so I won't ask you to reveal too much about your thoughts on the movie. You can refer people to the other podcasts you've done, but briefly, what did you think about the new Godzilla?
Yeah, thanks. The podcast you mentioned was with actually MCW's ring announcer, El Fantasmus, at his website, needlessthingsite.com. We did a history of Godzilla last week, and we did another hour last night that will be posted tomorrow about the new movie. And without, you know, giving too much away, I enjoyed it. It was better than I thought it would be, but I think they missed the mark on a couple things. But, you know, you can't have everything, and overall I'm happy.
All right. Well, check out the other podcast you said tomorrow it'll be posted?
Yeah, it's going to go up tomorrow, yeah.
All right. And also, I wasn't able to attend the Mucha Lucha show yesterday because I'm on vacation in Florida right now, actually. So we're two-thirds. Georgia Wrestling Now is two-thirds in Florida this week.
Yeah, and we're talking to a guy from Tennessee tonight. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, give us a quick recap of the Mucha Lucha show. It was outdoors this time?
It was outdoors in the back parking lot behind the Santa Fe Mall, which I'd never been to before, but it's a cool little place. Problem is, the show was supposed to start at 2 o'clock, which is about exactly when it started to rain. So, you know, they're telling us they're not going to cancel the show. The wrestlers are willing to go on. They're just going to try to wait for the rain to stop. We take our seats outside about 3 o'clock. It's raining off and on. I don't know if this is normal for a lucha show, but there was a lot of other stuff going on that wasn't wrestling. Like, there were these fucking clowns that just kept doing acts that I didn't get. And, of course, everything's in Spanish. I think myself and my wife were the only Caucasians there. So, you know, it's understandable it's in Spanish, but we don't know what's going on. Actually, the best bump of the night was one of the clowns. They started bringing the audience members out and dressing them in drag, I guess, to see who's going to look the cutest. And one of the clowns goes to leap into one of the contestants' arms, and the guy just no-sails it and spine busts him on the pavement, so that was entertaining.
Wow.
So that happens. There's a Spanish Billy Idol cover band, which was pretty great, that played for a little bit. Then there's some music over the PA for a while, the radio station that's out there. The first match finally starts a little bit after 5. So we've been sitting here for like 3 hours at this point. I don't know who the tag team was. I actually think they were introduced as the Technicos and the Rudos. And it's a 2 out of 3 falls tag match where every single fall is a disqualification due to a low blow. It's the most disjointed mess I've ever seen. I don't know if the ring is slippery and the guys don't want to bump, but it's all comedy, most of it bad. After that match is over, there's about 30 minutes of other assorted bullshit. And like you mentioned, I had to get home and do a podcast. It was damn near 7 o'clock, so unfortunately I had to get up and go, so I can't comment on the rest of the show. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed, but from what I hear, that's kind of typical for a Lucha show, that it kind of goes on for a while and there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily wrestling. Was that the case with the shows in the past?
Yeah, the other two Mucha Lucha shows, that was the case, and I think that is the case in general with Lucha shows, but the one they did in January was at Santa Fe Mall, but it was in the ballroom indoors, and then the last one back in, I think it was in March, was at a different location not far away in Duluth, I believe. I forget the name of it, but then they switched back to Santa Fe Mall, and I don't think I saw any indication that it was going to be an outdoor show, so I was surprised when I saw your Facebook posts about that. But yeah, the ones I went to, there was probably 2 to 3 hours of the clowns and other stuff going on, which was surprising to me that people stay not only through all of that, but until the end of the show as well, because the other ones I've been to, once the wrestling starts, it's still another 2.5-3 hours of wrestling.
What was killing me is I'm looking around and nobody seems bored. Nobody looks impatient. I wouldn't necessarily say they were into the clowns, but they weren't looking pissed off. So I guess they're kind of used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Those shows are very interesting to me. I hope they didn't, the rain didn't mess them up too much, because I certainly want them to keep doing it. But I know they also fly all those guys in, aside from one or two, everyone on the show is from Mexico or from Texas or California or somewhere like that. So they're putting a lot of money into those shows, and I'm sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's got to be an expensive little show there.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd love to check it out again and hope everything goes according to plan and see what they can really do. You know, I guess it's not really fair to judge them on a rain play.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as soon as I hear anything about it, we'll get someone on the show again, like we had Magno on a few weeks ago. I'm also curious how the Southern Championship Wrestling show went.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. Because, and I hate to say this, but it looks like the trend this past weekend was wrestling promotions losing lots and lots of money. And I can tie that into with World Wrestling Entertainment stock and all that stuff as well.
Right.
But I saw photos, and a guy that I used to work with in radio was at the show with Rock 100, and he was posting some photos, and they did not look like they had a very large crowd at all. Of course, a lot of that could do with the fact that they're in a building that houses about 4,000 people. So they might have done 200-300 people, which is decent for an indie show, but, you know, looks real bad in a venue that size, which was my concern when we did the interview. But at the same time, I mean, you know, is it now safe to say that Matt Hardy isn't what Matt Hardy was in 2005? And I don't just mean that by his work ability, but I just don't think that he has a name value anymore.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned that he worked some other show, he and Shane Helms.
Yeah, him and Shane Helms were at a show in Miami that the photo I saw, literally about 28-30 people. I've seen a number that said it was a little over 100, but again, I've not, you know, it's tough to say when you're in those gigantic buildings. So.
Yeah. Well, another show bringing in a lot of big names this week on a Thursday night is Nature Boy Paul Lee's show up in Ringgold is doing, what is it, American Wrestling Federation, AWF, / World of Wild. He's doing this show called Wrestle Jam 2, and Matt Hardy will be part of that again, as well as Carlito, Teddy Long, Buff Bagwell, Rock and Roll Express, Cliff Compton, which they're billing as Domino for some reason.
Right.
Crimson,
Luke Gallows, the Barbarian, Rebby Sky.
And you know what? And I don't want to sound like egotistical here, because you know, I honestly, you know, I just, you know, I don't want to come across as that guy. But let's be honest, TNA does not really draw at their own house shows. Ring
right.
of Honor does very well in New York, in Philadelphia, in Maryland. They did really good in Nashville, which surprised the hell out of me. But the rest of the shows
yeah.
they do are usually very sparing-sized crowds as well. So it's one of those things that's like, how over are these guys they use on their rosters in the grand scheme of things? But more importantly, and I'm just going to put this out there, and it might be a good topic for us to discuss before Shane gets on, outside of John Cena, who's a draw in the wrestling business right now? I mean, literally, you could put $15,000 behind them or whatever their rate is. Who could you book that you know not only will you make your money back, but then some? Is there a guy out there that you could really say, that guy's a draw, you can put him on a show, fill out your roster, and then, you know, make your money back?
If we're talking mainstream where contracts don't matter, would you put Daniel Bryan on that level?
No, because I'm afraid that Daniel Bryan really truly isn't much of a draw. I think the WWE name is a draw, and I
yeah.
think if you're going to – like, now, do I think Daniel Bryan's going to get to 1,000 people? Yeah, but if you're paying Daniel Bryan $5,000, and I'm just assuming that would be his rate of pay because I've heard what other people's rate of pay are right now. If he's winning $5,000 and a ticket and a hotel room, probably first-class accommodations, you're looking at spending about $7,000, $8,000 on Daniel Bryan. Is he going to make that back? And then you got to fill out your roster too.
I think the, you know, long shot that you got like CM Punk to do an indie show would probably draw some people. It would also depend on where it is though, and how
right.
well it's promoted. But in general, I think what you just said is what I was going to say. WWE is an attraction. And it, you know, if Carlito or Matt Hardy signed with WWE again, people would cheer for him and be happy to see him on TV. But if you book
right.
him on a show like this, who knows how many people are going to show up.
Well, and if you look at it like as a sport, okay, the World Cup is a draw for soccer. The New York Yankees are a draw for Major League Baseball. I wouldn't say Alex Rodriguez is a draw because if Alex Rodriguez gets traded to the Atlanta Braves, the Braves don't all of a sudden go start buying tickets to go watch A-Rod. You know, it's one of those things where, like, the WWE now is on that level of the World Cup, the Barnum and Bailey Circus, the New York Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys. In the 90s, it was the Bulls. I mean, you went to see Michael Jordan, of course, but it was the Bulls. You go to see the Bulls play. You can't really say that anymore about, like, a lot of what's going on. And, you know, and I had some internal discussions with a former WWE guy about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I threw out what I felt was a fair price, and of course he was like, that's a little low, and I'm like, well, look at what I'm also offering you. And, you know, I was offering him, and I'll go ahead and say it, I was offering him 6% of revenue, 6% of what I take home of the gate he can have, if that mm-hmm. is more than this minimum. And he said that wasn't enough. So that let me know right there that either he didn't read what I put or he didn't think he could get 1,000 people in there.
Yeah.
So,
well,
it's an interesting discussion, and it's one of those things where, like, yes, I think the guys deserve to be compensated, but at what time does it become a thing where there's no way promoters can make money because nobody's over?
I don't really know.
Because that's the thing is the show that we just had, I know for a fact that they bought radio ads, and I believe they bought actual local cable ads that aired during Raw and I think Impact, which is a good strategy, which is what a lot of people do, but they didn't hit the ground. They didn't do the grassroots promoting in any – I mean, it's just – I watched that thing with Justin Credible, and I think we shared it on the AWE page. It's one of those things where it's like – and Johnny, you can attest this, and Jonathan, you too. You guys have seen, like, local, like, bands. Local bands don't spend money on radio. They freaking hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true.
And it's almost like that to me is, I think, where independent wrestling needs to go back to, is building relationships with the fan base.
I agree with that, and I don't know how much they've done like that for Wrestle Jam. I know Paul Lee has been trying to get people to put post the WrestleJam poster as their profile picture, and that's certainly not a bad strategy, but I agree with you.
Well, being a social media guy, that's a horrible strategy, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, just getting it out.
It's a unique strategy, but again, you know, to me, and again, and this is just because of how the industry I work in. To me, I would rather Johnny Danger get over, and Johnny Danger's friends and Johnny Danger's fans want to come see Johnny Danger wrestle.
Yeah.
I would rather see, you know, let's just throw out Kyle Matthews. If Kyle Matthews has got a loyal fan base of 15, 20 people that he knows that like him, that support him, that will come and see Kyle Matthews wrestle, more than I would rather see AWF with its loyal 50 fans, you know, see that someone's, you know, because again, then I feel like, and that's the problem, is like, I feel like everybody's trying to be WWE and build the company brand name and not building the talent brand name.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's interesting. I don't think about it on that local level, but I think you're exactly right in a way.
Well, it's like a politician. Like, how do you become mayor? You hit the ground running. You kiss babies. You shake hands. Well, once you become a mayor, then you build up your clientele and you build up your people that love you and support you to run for Congress. Then from Congress, you go and say, I want to be a senator. Then from senator, and I'm saying state congressman, not fucking national, then you want to be a national senator. And then you're a senator and you've been in politics for 24, 25 years, and you're like, I'm running for president because I got enough people behind me now.
So let's play devil's advocate, and this may be a tough question, but what do you build first, the brand or the quote-unquote superstars? Because I've worked for promotions that pass out 200 or 300 flyers, and then I've got 15 fans in the crowd. What happened?
Well, that's the thing. They pass out 200 or 300 flyers. Okay, and I had this discussion today, actually, with, you know, with other people. And this is just a thought. I'm not saying this is the thing. Marijuana is one of the biggest industries in America, and yet it has never been advertised on TV, radio, or print.
Huh.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that we're smokers. It doesn't, but I guarantee you, each one of us knows someone that smokes, and each one of us knows someone that knows how to buy weed. But yet, that person knows somebody that knows somebody that knows someone. But yet, that person who's selling the weed has never once actually advertised they have weed.
Interesting.
It's, dude, I was mind blown when I had that fucking thought today.
Well, not to change the subject too much, but we do have a guest tonight who's going to be part of the
WrestleJam
show. His name is the King Shane Williams, and yeah, he is officially on as of right now.
And I'm glad that we just had this discussion when we get Shane Williams on, because let's get him on, and then I'll go ahead and pop him right into this conversation too.
Shane, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Yeah, please update me. Please jump me right into
that
conversation.
I don't know if you heard the whole thing, but basically, because I know that right now you're working for some amazing shows in Tennessee and Louisiana and Arkansas that are drawing very good crowds, and I'll be honest with you, you guys are not a lot of household names, but yet you're drawing crowds. How is that happening?
I think that the reason it's happening, I think, is because I think there's a resurgence in the into wrestling business as far as people are looking for the old school flair again, like the stuff that they grew up watching on
right.
on Saturday mornings. So I think there's a market for that, and I think that's what people are jumping on right now. I think about just not seeing the you know, we all get spoiled with the wrestling, with the fireworks and the bodies these days and everything like that, and you know, the spectacular, you know, events that WWE is able to put on. But you know what, the basis of all professional wrestling just starts back in the territory days, you know, and eventually you can only have so many fireworks. You can only have so many guys with so many muscles. Eventually you just muscle yourself out. So I think now we're starting to see a focus on in professional wrestling on the back to the territory days. That's my favorite
right.
type of wrestling, by the way.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
that
no, and I agree. And that's actually a conversation that I had yesterday with you know, someone. But at the same time, like, and you're a little bit older school guy. I mean, you know, you came in at that, I like to call it that weird period where, like, you're coming in as the internet's starting to, you know, get going. But at the same time, you're also there right as, like, the WCW and the ECW is dying.
Yeah, you're
how
exactly
is the business
right.
just, Yeah, how has the business changed? Because we talked to Chase Stevens about this when he was on, and I know that you and him kind of came up at the same time. How do you feel the business has changed in regards to just the death of WCW, especially in the South? How did much did that hurt your area, Tennessee, and you know the I guess it's the what you might call it, the Mid-South area? How did it hurt that area when you first got in the business to like the mid 2000s and now today? It's one of the hottest areas right now going.
I tell you what, when I first started out. Wrestling wise, and started just getting trained. A guy took my money, showed me how to take a couple bumps, and left town. And then I was left pretty much sink or swim by myself. No
wow.
internet, you know, nothing like that. But now, I think with the of course with Facebook and the internet and all things like that, and of course word able to be able to be passed around much easier now than other days. It's easier to get word of mouth out about some of the talents that's out there that hasn't been signed and are not seen on national TV, such as
right.
myself and Chase Stevens and people like that, people that are still you know, pursuing the dream and fighting the fight and traveling the roads and trying to keep this great business alive right now. So I've been able to see a lot of just transition just over the past few years. I mean, I think there's just a big void right now in the wrestling market right now for just classic territory, old school wrestling.
Oh,
I think
a lot of people are
wanting that. They're
yeah.
begging for it. Give me some new characters. Give me some new faces to cheer and boo. And let's see what you got. And let's see what kind of product you can throw out there.
Yep.
You know, we all have been to that independent wrestling promotion that pretty much you just walk into a building and there's a ring set up and then they just, guys, just walk through the curtain and just go out there and wrestle. But I think there's a market out there for just something different, for those old school characters, but also just to give a new flair to the business and spot things back
right.
up.
Well, and that's kind of like, and that's one reason why, like, yeah, I'll be honest with you, I saw some of your stuff, and this was like a few months ago. I was, you know, scouting some talent, doing some research, and come across some of your videos and started watching it. I'm like, you know, I love this. Like, you took a gimmick, and you know, the King gimmick that's been done so many times in so many ways, but yet you put your own twist on it, and I think it's just that, and that's what it all boils down to is just putting your own twist on the old, but making it seem new again. And I think you've done a tremendous job with that. So kind of tell the Georgia fans how you became the King of Tennessee.
Well, I tell you, I started out, my beginnings was a really weird starting out period. I, just like anybody else that's wanting to get into the wrestling business, I sent out some fillers. You know, I actually contacted OVW, sent them an email about coming and training at OVW, and I got a nice little response letter from Nick Densmore that said, hey, we're currently not accepting students, and sorry, good luck to you. And I was like, oh, hell, what do I do now? So I found a guy that was opening up shop in the back of a pool hall, actually raised the ceilings in there, set up a wrestling ring, and was getting ready to start taking students on. And I was in college at the time. And decided that was going to be something I wanted to do in order to make some extra money while I was in college. So I went to him, pestered him to death for about a month, and he decided to train me. Like I said, he just showed me some bumps and how to fall down and how to get beat up pretty much, and then I was on my own. And from there, I went to Nashville, and a bunch of promoters out there started talking about how I kind of looked like a young Jerry Lawler. I have curly hair at the time, short curly hair, and I had this curl in the front that tend to fall down and get in my face while I was wrestling. So they decided to start doing this little King gimmick with me. And then at the time, I started studying a bunch of Gorgeous George tapes at the same time, a bunch of old school 1950s and 60s wrestling. I started studying that and then kind of took that and put it with some hot stuff, Eddie Gilbert, and there you go. And then you got King Shane Williams. That's pretty much me. I studied a lot of hot stuff, Eddie Gilbert, a lot of Gorgeous George. My favorite wrestler of all time, though, has to be Andy Kaufman. Anybody that's 150 pounds and can get an
yep.
inside a riot is a favorite wrestler of mine.
he's actually my favorite wrestler too. So it's funny you said that. But that's the thing is like, and you know, not to like say that, oh, I'm so brilliant. But when I first saw some of your videos, I was like, okay, he's definitely studying some Eddie Gilbert. I could tell it in the almost like the your tights you had on that day, the way you were like moving around, you had like a strut going. I could kind of see the influence of Eddie Gilbert in some of your matches I watched. And so how many times have you actually come to the Georgia to Georgia?
I've got to wrestle in Georgia a few times, but they've been really inconsistent. So I'm really looking forward to this Thursday night. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a huge event. So I've got to wrestle in Georgia. Maybe the last time I was in Georgia was probably about 3 years ago. So this is I'm getting ready to jump right back in the thick of things in Georgia and see how things have changed out there. And I definitely have been rocking and rolling here in Tennessee for a while now.
Right.
And Louisiana and Alabama and North Carolina and other places like that. So, but it's a, I love going to Georgia and wrestling. Such a, all the greats have been through Georgia. You know, if you're definitely wanting to make a name for yourself, you definitely have to make a name for yourself in the state of Georgia. That's for sure. You can't get your name out there without passing through the state of Georgia.
Right. Jonathan, you had a question?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I saw you wrestle at one or two Universal Championship wrestling events, which were sporadic. But I know you were also doing a lot of work with traditional championship wrestling, which I thought was a Tennessee-based promotion, but I guess I was wrong about that. But I noticed they haven't been updating their site since like March or April. Are they still running, or are you still part of that?
Currently I haven't got any bookings from them, so I'm guessing not.
I was actually going to ask you about that too, yeah.
Event I did for them was that Mid-South wrestling reunion that they did down in Louisiana on WrestleMania weekend. That was the last event I've actually done for them. So hopefully something pops back up, but, it's the wrestling business, so you never know.
Right. I was going to ask you about that because I had heard that Michael Rivera, Larry Goodman actually came on our show and kind of told us that Michael Rivera was closing up shop but wasn't telling anybody really that he was closing just in case something happened, but I guess you haven't heard anything either, so...
Now, it's a fun promotion. While I was there working, I always had a great time there. And I thought they had a really good TV product as well.
Oh, the TV was actually really good. Chris Cruz is one of my favorite undercard commentators, yeah.
Chris Cruz was a great guy to work with. He's always, he'd always give me help on my interviews and promos and things like that. And anytime you can get in and be able to work on any kind of event with guys that's, been there and done that and done the big events, you definitely want to be a part of that just so you can always be learning.
Yeah. Now, a few years ago, you were in Columbus, Georgia, and you had an incident. Could you tell us your side of the story on this incident? Because we heard Chase talk about it a little bit when he was on, so I'd love to hear from you.
Well, I'll start off by saying this. I was in a very bad mood. At the time, me and my girlfriend had broken up. And it was one of those kind of breakups where, at some time in the wrestling business, you have to, pretty much figure out that you're not normal. And that was my time of I figured out, hey, Shane, you're not normal. You wrestle, you roll around with men in tights, and that's how you make your money. So I was going through that period, and while going through that period, me and Mr. Stevens had a booking in Columbus, Georgia. Walk in there that night, and I'm actually scheduled to wrestle the booker that night, who is really upset at the time because the house that night was terrible. It was a capacity crowd. I guarantee you that we had more guys in the locker room than they have fans in the seat.
There's been plenty of shows like that, yeah.
Yep.
that night we ended up, the promoter said, asked me what we could do. I told him, hey, what kind of crowd do you want to have here next time? He said he wanted to have a full house. So I told him what we were going to do. The idea was I was just going to kick him and give him a pile driver. That was pretty much the basis of it. And so we get out to the ring. We start wrestling. And when I mean wrestling, I don't mean like I'm grabbing an arm and wringing his arm. I'm talking about I walk up with him, and I push him, and he pushes me, and then I shoot at his legs. I take him down, and we start rolling around on the mat together. And about that time, the entire locker room cleared out. I'm talking about the entire locker room. Like I said, we had more people in the locker room than we did actually in the seats that night. So I'm talking about like 20 guys came out to the ring and pulled us both apart, and I'm loving it. I'm like, man, if these guys are buying into it, man, all 15 people here must be buying into it. So they pull us apart. The referee, I remember that night, was hilarious because the referee had a shirt on that actually didn't go all the way over his stomach. actually came all the way down. His stomach actually hung out the bottom of it. That's just telling you a little bit about the show right there. But the referee and all the guys ended up pulling us apart to the corners, and I ended up telling everybody, hey, I'm sorry. The people are going crazy at this time. And I tell, you know, all the guys ended up getting out of the ring, and I tell the referee, you know, the match is over. Let's just get out of the ring. And I walk over to the guy that I was the booker, and I tell him, hey, man, I'm sorry. And I reach out to shake his hand. He shakes my hand. And I ask him, hey, are you ready? And when he says, he said, yes, I haul off and I kick him right between the legs and I give him a pile driver. When I give him a pile driver, I tell him just to lay there and not to move, just to look up at the ceiling. And I proceed to get out of the ring, and the announcer got up in my face and started yelling. So I pushed him down, literally pushed him down, walked to the back. My idea was I'm going to throw all my stuff in my gear bag and just jump in the rental car and take off. And I was going to come back and pick up Chase a little bit later after the show. But I get out to the back, put all my stuff in my bag, walk out, jump in my rental car, and at that time all the fans, including all the wrestlers, had surrounded my rental car, and I couldn't pull out. Not only were they surrounded, but they were actually on top of it, shaking the rental car. So it was a rough night in Columbus, Georgia that night. The guy ended up calling the fire and the ambulance to come out there and check on this guy. And he was so scared after they carried him out to the ambulance, he set up and told everybody how much of a work it was and totally killed our business for the rest of the time. I know. One move, gave him a kick and a pile driver, and everybody in that entire building believed that night. So anybody that's out there that says that, you know, the business is dead, it's actually alive. It's just hasn't been presented that way in a long time.
Agree. Do you know what show that was?
You know what? I don't. I really don't.
Okay,
I just remember jumping out of my rental car and going, get off of my car, and the wrestlers, like, flexing on me. One wrestler takes his shirt off and starts flexing at me, asking me if I was ready to fight. And I was
I had a similar story at a show in Columbus where I was brought in, hired to book and manage and, you know, do like a gimmick for him, and, you know, he's going to pay me pretty good. He's going to give me like, you know, 15% of the gate when it draws.
Right.
And I catch one of the boys in the crowd after his match chatting with the fans. And, of course, you know, I pull him to the side, and I'm like, you don't do that in this fucking business. And
right.
He goes and tells his
right.
dad that I said the F word in front of him, and I got fired for booking. So I'm wondering if it was the same show in Columbus.
Which one was that, Josh?
Dynasty Championship Wrestling.
You know what? That might have been it. Maybe that was it. I really don't remember. I just remember that the show, they ended up calling me back and wanted me to come back in there and to run that angle. And I told them, you know, me being the wrestler guy, I'm telling them, hey, yeah, I'll gladly come back for the same payoff. But I knew myself once they told everybody that it was it wasn't going to work. But you know what? Me being the wrestler, me wanting to pay my bills, and you know, I went back and gladly tried.
Oh man. So I'm looking forward to this
show coming up on Thursday. It looks like it's going to be a stacked card. I mean, Thursday night, and you got Teddy Long, you got Matt Hardy, you got Carlito, you got all the big guys, and North Carolina, Puerto Rico, all these guys coming in. So it should be a fantastic event that night.
Well, speaking of the event, do you know who you'll be wrestling yet?
You know what? I just saw the card, and I know that I am actually going to be tagging that night with Chase Stevens against two poor souls that I have yet to meet. So I'm thinking I think I'm going to have to send Mr. Chase Stevens a text message and see if we can break out the Legion of Doom's old finisher or something like that.
Hey, we've got a caller. I'm going to bring them online and see if they have a question for you, Shane, or something else. You're on the line with Georgia Wrestling Now with Shane Williams. Who's this?
Hey, it's Larry Goodman.
Oh, my God! Holy Mother of Jesus!
When I heard Shane Williams was on, I just had to call in. But I wanted to clarify, you guys both told me those stories about that promotion, and it was the same promotion, DCW. You both had that was DCW for both of you.
Oh, God.
I'm guessing they're closed down now, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, the megastar, James Powers.
Yep.
Oh,
that,
I've heard about that promotion.
So, Larry, are you coming to retirement?
Soon. One of these days. I actually watched the Hardcore Hell video from Anarchy, and I'm going to write a review of it. So I'm starting to come out of, beginning to come out of retirement just a little bit. But I wanted to ask Shane, being a Tennessee person, just to shift away from, I know you got this big show coming up Thursday night, but what you think about Paul Adams returning to pro wrestling booking in Knoxville, Tennessee?
You know what? I am actually looking forward to it because Knoxville wrestling is dead right now. There is nothing going on out here. There's nothing. I mean, of course, you got your local yokel hillbilly wrestling shows that, you know, the guy gets on public access TV and claims to be the greatest wrestling promoter in the world and ends up doing free shows in car lots all over Knoxville. But this actually, the Southeastern wrestling that they're going to be producing here in Knoxville, it's going to be done over at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, old school Smoky Mountain style. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, they're going to run the smaller room in there, the ballroom, and not the main, you know, building, but it's still in the same thing.
You got it. Yeah, so they're going to be shooting it. They're going to be shooting it right there in the smaller area, and I'm looking forward to see what kind of production they're going to put on. I've never actually seen Paul Adams do any bad TV, so I'm looking to see what he's going to be able to bring to Knoxville. Plus, it's supposed to be airing on Sundays at noon as well, so.
Nice. Are you going to be part of that, do you think?
Yes, I am, actually. I've actually already talked with Mr. Paul Adams, and I think that Knoxville, Tennessee is in dire need of somebody to look up to. Since, you know what, here in Knoxville, we have a very bad football team. Really don't really have a really good athletic program to really look up to or any major stars here in the area. So I'm thinking that I could actually fill that void.
Cool. Hey, you alluded to Mr. Terry Landell, the guy running the shows in the car.
How did you know, Larry? Come on.
I was wondering, is he, and I don't know if you have any perspective on this, but being from Knoxville, you may, is he going to try to shoot this down and run against it and do some of the goofy stuff he's done before?
I'm sure of it. My very first big event I ever did here in Knoxville took place over at the Knoxville Expo Center for this group that called NWA, it was an NWA affiliate. I want to say NWA, it wasn't Smoky Mountain, it was NWA something, but it was years and years ago. It's ran by
Rocky Top.
That's it. But I remember the night they did the big event, he ran across the street on Clinton Highway in a car lot and brought in like Bullet Bob and Buddy Landell and some people like that to try to draw against him, and it was just a big ordeal. But I'm sure I wouldn't put it past him whatsoever. You know, this is the same guy that put on the Brad Armstrong benefit show and decided to wear a white tuxedo to it. So, you know.
we've got another caller that I think everyone on the line will be familiar with. You're on the line with Georgia Wrestling Now. Who's this?
Hi, this is Charles Chicken Hat Hernandez.
Chicken Hat!
Chicken Hat?
Yes, it's me.
Oh, my goodness, Chicken Hat. It's been a while since I got to see you at the sawmill this last Friday night. Good seeing you, man.
Yes, and I'd like to know one thing. You were there with some redhead. Who was she?
That was actually my student. That's actually my fiance.
Oh, really?
She said, hey, we're supposed to be going out to a fancy dinner tonight. And I said, you know what, sweetheart? We are going to the sawmill. And she said, sawmill? And I said, let me show you. So I took her with me, and we took some pictures while we were there, you know. I don't know if you saw any of them or hear any of the shots. We did some had the referee take some pictures of us and took some pictures with Peekaboo out there in the crowd and everything.
Oh,
it's a really good night. I like being at the sawmill. It's always a good time at the sawmill.
Yeah.
That was actually the soon-to-be queen right there. So we're actually getting married sometime coming up next month, June 14th. So
congratulations!
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, Shane, I guess let's talk more about this show on Thursday. Have you ever worked for AWF previously?
No, I have not. I have actually worked with the Nature Boy, Paul Lee, several times. And he actually did an event in North Carolina with him and got to talking to him about his upcoming event because I was I've worked with Carlito and I've worked with Matt Hardy a couple of times, and they're also talking about his event coming up. So I haven't been to the state of Georgia in a good long time, so I figured this would be a great chance for me to jump back in the thick of things in Georgia and get my name out there a little bit more. So.
Now, how far is Ringgold from Atlanta, just because I'm not familiar with the city?
Ringgold is just below Chattanooga, so it's a couple hours.
Okay, so it's okay. I gotcha. Okay.
Johnny
so,
Danger.
I was about to say.
Yes.
You have any questions for the King?
Yeah, I read a little teaser on the website about you explaining how you are the only true king in wrestling. So why don't you sell that to me? Why are you the only true king?
Well, because any other king out there right now, anybody that calls himself a king of wrestling right now, not only doesn't even wrestle, and I can actually do more push-ups than anybody else that calls himself the king of wrestling right now. So I think you guys know what I'm talking about. So I've actually been doing some TV out for in the southern Illinois market for Mr. Burt Prentice, and hopefully I'll be able to show that guy that calls himself the king of wrestling steel for the past 30 years, 40 years, or however long he's been calling himself the king, that I can do not only more push-ups than him, but I also can out-wrestle him if he can still remember how to crawl and through it.
Now, if you had
wow.
to pick beside yourself, of course, who would you say is the next greatest king in the history of wrestling?
You know what, I got to the luck and opportunity when I first started wrestling to get to work with Dr. Tom Pritchard a little bit, and Dr. Tom Pritchard told me if I wanted to be successful in wrestling that I should, you know, not find somebody that was also successful in wrestling and study him. So that's, you know, I went with, you know, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, but Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert always followed Jerry Lawler. So, you know, I always wanted to wrestle Jerry Lawler. I got the chance to wrestle him several times. It's been a while now since I definitely have improved a lot now since the last time I got to step in the ring with Mr. Lawler. So I'm hoping to be able to actually do it again, hopefully sometime soon. But it's
awesome.
Always a great time getting to wrestle him. I got the opportunity to wrestle him before, it's me and actually Brian Christopher against Jerry Lawler and Superstar Bill Dundee in Nashville one night with Jackie Fargo as a special ringside enforcer before Jackie Fargo passed away.
Oh,
and
my God.
My
inner mark just started popping. I was like, oh, my God.
That was a wonderful night. And we ended up in a small little building that was on fire, ended up drawing a capacity crowd of like 650 people. The local
wow.
news was there. I mean, it was a great night just to be a part, of the wrestling business. And then later on, with the traditional championship wrestling, they brought in Jackie Fargo in Memphis to crown me the new king of wrestling. And I got to talk and sit around and hear some of Jackie Fargo's stories about training and and working with Jerry Lawler back in his younger days, and it was always a good experience being able to be a part of that. Anytime being able to learn from Fargo, and especially when he watched me wrestle Chris Masters one night, and it's something he complimented me on was that he really believed I was in a fight for my life out there, and believe it or not, I actually was.
I got a question about like the Tennessee wrestling fans, because like I said, Tennessee is like right now to me is one of the hotbeds in you know, especially in the South, because you do have your Saul, you have your NWA Smoky Mountain, TCW was running, you know, up to I guess January ish, and then you got all these little shows coming up, but also Ring of Honor is kind of running Nashville now. But at the same time, they got a pay per view coming up in Nashville. How is that affecting the Tennessee scene? Do you see like guys like now trying to like wrestle that style more, and
well,
do you see the fans actually being a little bit more educated?
This is the deal here in the Tennessee market that I have discovered. I grew up here, of course, in Knoxville, and I've got to travel all over the state. They here in Tennessee, they love the wrestling. Don't get me wrong. If they're going to, I believe they love their old school wrestling, and more so than they like their
flashy stuff.
Sliding, things like that. You know, they like to see people get punched in the mouth out here. They like to see some blood. They like to see rough and tough, and they like to hear their wrestling. Like they like to hear the slaps. They like to hear the punches, and they like to see, their wrestling brutal. You know, that's they grew up. I mean, a lot of other people out here, they wrestling, you know, is like the Ron Wright, of course, the Jackie Fargos, the Gulises, you know, all that stuff with the Tojo Yamamoto, all that, the old school classic wrestling. That, I think, it does better out here. But with the Ring of Honor right there, I think they're able to do is they're able to bring production. That's what's missing out here in the Tennessee market, along with the wrestling, is production of wrestling, as in any kind of lights, any kind of anything that's going to make the event look like an actual event versus just a ring set up in a building with some tape around it and a curtain to walk, for the guys to walk through. You know, I think that's what the people out here really enjoy, because they're able to buy in a little bit. You know, we all watch wrestling. The only thing that's on TV right now is, of course, WWE with the fantastic pyro and the things like that they're able to add to the shows, and the Titantron and all that stuff. So anything that they can throw towards the average everyday wrestling fan that somewhat is close to that product, I believe that people will jump on and buy it. And I think that's why Crossfire did really, really well in the Nashville market until they imploded. And now I think Ring of Honor has just moved in and has definitely filled that void for the Nashville wrestling fan.
Yeah, and it's funny because I remember, you know, being a kid watching wrestling myself, the first thing that caught my eye flipping channels is Jake the Snake Roberts holding up a python.
You got it, man.
You see something like that today and nobody bats an eye.
If I wasn't scared of snakes, my name would be Shane the Snake Williams, but I'm definitely scared of snakes, so that's probably why I don't have a job.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Jake's been a big influence on me. But, I mean, something like that would stand out back in the day, but how do you grab the eye of casual or new fans today? You got to blow shit up, right?
You got it. You know, my deal right now is I really hate for people to mess up my hair. I totally stole Gorgeous George's character to Tilt, man. I saw him wrestle at my very first tape. My great-grandmother introduced me to was Gorgeous George, and she talked about him coming to the Knoxville area and how cool it was, how this guy came out, of course, dressed all up, and all these other wrestlers are all big, tough wrestlers, and this guy came out with bobby pins in his hair and would get beat up, and when he'd get beat up, of course, his hair would be a mess, bobby pins everywhere, and it looks like he just got through getting into a fight, and I really like to be able to do that, and I totally stole everything that he does now.
Speaking of Gorgeous George, one of the things that he used to do, he had, you know, the gold bobby pins, but he would take his time to just pick the pins out of his hair and let the fans see it. And you know, and I'm sure every wrestler has heard it, everybody in the business has heard it, slow down. How important has that been to you in your career to slow down and let the small things register?
Oh, you know, Tracy Smothers told me best, if I thought I was going too slow, then I needed to slow down and go even slower. That was something I learned a long time ago after I decided one night to jump over the top rope and to land on some guys, and they decided to move on me. I'm lander on the on the gym floor gasping for breath, and I remember seeing Tracy Smothers at his gimmick table just shaking his head. And then after I got to the back, he told me, you know, that I need to really work on slowing down and telling a better story. And, you know, that's what I think is lacking a lot in the independent wrestling scene is, you know, when we go out there to wrestle and perform, we're out there to put on a show. You know, these people actually pull their wallet out, they pull cash out of their wallet, and they hand it to the person that's taking the tickets there, and they buy tickets. So they're taking their hard-earned money that they work and they slave over just to be able to come to these wrestling shows. And the least thing that we can do is actually entertain them and make them go yay or make them go boo. And, you know, that's the reason I love doing my job. So I think that's a big thing that's missing, though, is guys, instead of thinking about what cool moves they're going to be able to do, is what kind of reaction are they going to be able to make the fans have? What kind of experience is the ticket buyer going to be able to have by coming to this event?
Well said. John, are you going to be on?
Yeah, I was going to just ask for details about the show on Thursday, if you have them, and where else you're going to be this weekend or the next few weeks.
Well, I have, of course, you know, this Thursday night, and then my great fiance has cracked the whip on me and told me that she is going to hog tie me, throw me in the trunk of her car, take me to North Carolina, and finish our wedding planning until next month. And then I have two events coming up in June. I have June 6th. I will be back in where am I at? I'll actually be in Dixon, Tennessee, for USA Championship Wrestling. And then the following night, I will be back, making my return back to Ringgold, Georgia, on June the 7th. So I
for AWF again?
Yeah. Yep. Going back to AWF, so
do you have any plans?
You know, should be a good time. I know I always like going to Dixon, Tennessee. It's always a fun time going to Dixon, Tennessee, and all the people go, you know, Jerry, and I go, watch this. I can do more push-ups than Jerry, and I go down. I do like 5 1-arm push-ups and laugh at everybody. So it's a good time. Let me tell you, man, here in Tennessee, they do not forget their old school wrestling. They love it. They live and breathe it. Whether the guys are, you know, definitely have gotten up there in their age, there's no telling those USWA guys. Those memories are not forgotten. They're still alive and well here in definitely Middle Tennessee and West Tennessee for sure.
Do you plan on working for any other Georgia promotions in the near future?
You know, I'm always you know ready to work. I'm ready to go. Anybody that'll have King Shane Williams, I am very easily to get a hold of and available for bookings if the price is right. That's one thing I like to do with professional wrestling. I actually like to make a profit. I actually like to make money, and this because it's called the wrestling business. Some guys actually forget it's called the wrestling business and not the wrestling playtime, get in the ring and roll around, do a bunch of flippy moves and call it a night.
Well, and that could be a problem in Georgia. I mean, the part about making money at it. I mean,
what?
Well,
come on.
Well, and we were talking about this earlier, and you know, we'll kind of go back to it. Okay, you know, you're an older school guy. Is there any draws left in the business?
There is. It's the promoter's job to make us a draw. If they can actually, you know, make the event seem important, then the fans will come. If they don't feel like it's important, then they will not come. I mean, we got cable television now with it has 300 and something channels on it. It's very easy for us to sit at home and just flip through the television versus come to an independent wrestling show. But if it's presented right, and then people will buy into it and people will come and pay their hard earned money to see it. And it's just the promoter. I mean, it's called promoting. It's called, you know, making it big. And then we could show up as the wrestlers and, you know, and do our job and make the fans have emotion, make them go boo, make them say yay and clap and cheer and yell and all that good stuff.
So
I think
that
sometimes is lost.
So, it's still the same question. I like your answer because you were 100% right. But are there any ticket sellers left? Like, you know, you always hear Dusty Rhodes could talk him in the building. Jerry Lawler taught him in the building for years.
That's a great thing.
So
I
can the
Jerry
guy
Lawler
still talk him in the building?
From San Antonio and take one, two, or three bumps and get more heat than Power Show.
Right.
I believe that there has to be a decent TV product for you to be able to, you know, talk people into the building.
Okay,
you can't have a little backdrop that has duct tape holding the curtain up and to be make people believe that it's an important event. I believe it has to be produced and run professionally, not, you know, hey, I just got off my job at Walmart pushing buggies. Now I'm going to pretend to be a wrestling promoter.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we have plenty of those kind of guys out this way. I don't know about how many guys that got out that way.
That's the predominant thing that is in Georgia right now is nothing special right now in Georgia. That's why, like, you know, the Paul Lee show, I mean, it looks special on the poster. I mean, it's got a ton of names. But like we were talking about before you came on, a lot of those same names were on a show this past week at the Cobb County Civic Center in Marietta and barely got 200 people. So,
wow.
You know, that's the whole question is who, you know, I get exactly what you're saying. I think the promoter is going to do their job. But, you know, how much and we brought up the weed analogy, and I'll bring it to you too. Weed has never been advertised on radio, TV, or print magazine, but yet it's still a billion-dollar industry.
Right.
How does that happen?
I have no idea.
that's the question of the night.
How did that get brought up?
I had a thought today while at my desk job in my office that, you know, because I do social media marketing, and so I'm sitting here going, well, how do you get someone to do this? And I'm thinking to myself, well, shit, no matter how much you spend on advertising, weed's still one of the most popular items to buy in the world, and there's
right.
no advertising.
True. I think maybe because it's hard to get sometimes. It's not actually sold at the convenience stores.
Right.
If you're sold at the convenience stores, I think if you probably wouldn't hear so much about it.
That's
but who knows?
Possible.
Who knows with things how they work today? But it definitely comes with the wrestling business. And I'm sure just like how it is out here, you out your way, you have the same some events. You have the same names again.
It's the same
advertised.
Guys. It's the same guys. Yeah.
Same guys, and I think sometimes promoters get caught up on the names they're going to be able to bring the people in versus
right.
how to sell those names or how to sell those names to the fans or why these fans should come to this event versus that last event that took place in that area. You know, I think sometimes they just get caught up and bombarded on, we have to have names on the show, otherwise people won't come. Because, you know, you think about it, half of the independent wrestlers out there these days, we don't get to do TV. So we don't get to – we definitely know how to wrestle. We know how to go out there and we got to have a lock up. We know how to grab a arm and do some things like that. But how do we talk people into the event? How do we sell this event? Why is this
right.
show more important than the last show? Since there's no territories now, wrestlers aren't expected to do that. But hopefully what we were talking about in the beginning of our conversation was with the resurgence of people in this territory, hopefully, boom that we're having right now with people getting ready to do a much more territory-based TV program, hopefully that will change and hopefully a lot of other talents will be able to step up the plate and be able to offer up something new for the casual wrestling fan other than on Monday nights and Friday nights or whatever
right.
night, other nights that Northern product comes on.
Yep.
So,
I completely concur.
I think back in the day with the, you know, of course, like you said, the Dusty Rhodes and the Jerry Lawlers being able to happen to hype these events, you know,
right.
whether they're going to be able to pay their bills or, you know, buy a new car or things like that were, you know, depending on how big that house was versus now you have guys that have their job that they do on the side of wrestling that really pays their bills versus the professional wrestling business paying their bills. So I think hopefully, like I said, we'd be able to do more TV and more TV being out there, and hopefully more promoters being able to put out a better TV product, wrestlers will be able to step up and be able to take the opportunity when it presents itself.
Great answer.
Well, Shane, I guess it's time to wrap things up unless somebody else has a question for him.
I am good for now. I would love to do a second interview with him.
Yeah,
I'm good.
I'd love to do it. Anytime that I can just talk, I love it. Unlike some of the other wrestlers, I actually enjoy talking. I'd rather pay my bills by talking versus falling down repeatedly on my back or just
right.
hitting the face of a chair or going through a table or anything else crazy like that.
Yeah, I enjoy listening to somebody I'm not really familiar with, and it's making me want to seek out your work. So, hey, mission accomplished.
right on.
All right, King, we were happy to have you tonight and appreciate you calling, and look forward to hearing from you again sometime in the near future for sure.
Thanks, you guys, for having me on. Hopefully I'll be able to meet you guys really soon.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Larry, you still there?
Yes.
Did you attend
Larry's
any
back
shows?
In the wrestling business. Larry's back in the wrestling business.
Have you been to any shows lately, or have you completely been out of the loop?
I have been completely out of the loop. I haven't been to a live show since February, so
not depressing.
Yeah, I think I was talking to Trent Van Dries. He said, you know, you probably should have taken this break a while ago, and you got burned out going without doing it. I think he's right. I was overdue for a break, so it's a little longer than I thought it was going to be. But I'm starting to feel some things are happening. They're starting to get me interested again, like Paul Adams running up there in Nashville, and
that's
Knoxville.
That's a big deal right there. Paul Adams is, you know, pretty well known Tennessee promoter. That's an exciting thing for, and that's a good city. Knoxville's a great city. So
that's the other thing about it is back in Knoxville, and I mean of all people, with David Marquez involved with it too, which is sort of a strange combination if you ask me. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, there's some interesting things. There's some things in Georgia that are getting me interested too. So I think you'll see me back out at shows soon.
Nah, nothing's going on in Georgia. Don't lie. But speaking of things going on in Georgia, I do want to say that right here, a special exclusive announcement on this show. It will now be the main event of Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment's debut show, June 22nd, College Park. It is now Jimmy Rave approved, Chip Day and Jimmy Rave, versus Murder One and Corey Chavis. Perhaps the last time ever we'll ever see Blackout as a tag team.
Mm.
Larry, should I go ahead and reserve your seat?
Please.
Okay. And with that, I do have to announce that AJ Still has been moved into a fight with Bobby Moore, and we'll discuss more about that in the coming days on our Facebook page, and hopefully our website will be done very soon at ProWrestlingIsDead.com.
Last thing I want to say, go Blackhawks.
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
John, anything else?
No, just looking at upcoming shows. If anyone's interested in the AWF show on Thursday, you can get all the info at awfwow.com. Ticket prices and everything are on there. It's at the Colonnade Civic Center in Ringgold. And I'm trying to see. Anarchy is running on Saturday.
Yes, they have a ladder match.
Oh, yeah. For the title? Or?
Mike Posey is putting his heavyweight title on the line in a ladder match. The opponent has not been named.
NWA Atlanta is also running that night. Johnny Danger, are you doing any work for them? Or will you be there with Matt Sells?
Since you brought it up, you may want to come out to this show because this is the last scheduled appearance that Matt Sells and Johnny Danger will be in the same building, as far as I know.
I heard it might be two retirement matches in one night.
Where'd you hear that?
From a friend of a friend who knows both of you. Well, the last show.
Whoa, hey, kayfabe. I mean, at the last show, it was Matt Sells and Drew Adler in a ladder match for the NWA Atlanta Championship. I tried to help Matt the best I could. Things backfired. We haven't been speaking the past week. It's no secret he's moving up to Philly to seek his fortune in Ring of Honor and leaving his so-called best friend behind.
I love Matt Sells to death. He has literally become one of my favorite people in the Georgia scene, but he will not be making a fortune working for Ring of Honor. He will be celebrating his little bit of fame, perhaps, but not a fortune. They got to spend that money on Shinsuke Nakamura and Hirohoshi Tanahashi. They cannot spend a dollar on Matt Sells.
Hey, if he doesn't listen to me, why is he going to listen to you?
No, I mean, I'm glad he's going to be working up there, man. I'm so proud of the guy. He's a guy who, hate to say it because I'm going to get a goddamn blog about me again. He's a guy that did it without the help of the Illuminati.
Okay. I can respect that.
And you got to respect that. He did it himself. He made this happen for himself without having to use the Georgia Illuminati.
Hey, all bullshit aside, I got a ton of respect for Matt Sells. He's one of my best friends in the world, and I'm going to miss him, but I may just take one last chance to, you know, knock some sense into his head.
I agree. I hope you beat his ass. Beat his ass so bad he can't work for Ring of Honor. He stays in Georgia.
Hey, you're spoiling my promo. Cut it out. Yeah, I got something special for old Matty Cakes, so you may want to tune in.
All right. Well, another show running, I guess it's Friday, or is it Thursday? It says Thursday on gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, but when you click on it, it says Friday, so I'm not sure. But Deep Southern Championship Wrestling has a show.
Okay.
Usually worth checking out. It is in Rome. I think it's on, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, didn't I see that they're doing another one of those the three-way shows with Empire, Platinum, and whatchamacallit, and DSDCW again?
I haven't heard about one of those again.
No, I thought I just saw it, but maybe I was wrong.
Center
yeah,
Rome,
my phone's
so.
Kind of going in and out, but there is going to be another Titan Clash. I do know that.
That's what it's called, the Titan Clash, yeah. And on the Florida scene, I will be at the Ybor Orpheum on Friday night to witness Shine Women's Wrestling, because I actually like to watch women's wrestling because it's a lot better than watching Pandora matches. Oh, and I'm out.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. And I'm working on getting a pretty big guest. I don't want to spoil it or...
Oh, yeah, WWE's in town on Tuesday. We forgot to push that.
WWE is in town next Tuesday. And then there's also a WWE star appearing at Wizard World in Atlanta the following weekend. So,
yes, and if you are a smart investor, you can literally, this is no joke, you can get WWE stock right now for less than their ticket prices. Just a thought. Just throwing that out there. It's $11.25 right now. You can get WWE stock. You can help vote Vince McMahon out because they're in trouble.
Well, maybe that's a better investment than a ticket to the show, but
I wouldn't say that.
Well, no, it actually right now it might be a good investment because you'll at least make 50% off of that price when he has to buy all of his stock back in about 6 months because his daughter is facing an SEC investigation. And you guys think I'm joking about that? She's gonna be they're about to like pick through their entire books the past year.
Yeah, you can't play Wall Street like it's a wrestling angle and you're not
and
honoring
dude,
the stipulation.
Dude, he worked the marks and they bought it.
Yeah, I mean those aren't marks. I mean you know they're not just going to forget the stipulation like when you say you're going to make double or triple and it doesn't turn out that way. Man, you're going to get fried like they did. I mean that's what happened.
I don't want to give too much, but don't forget Stephanie sold 1 million shares of stock in August. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
That's what's going to be the kicker when they start looking into their books. That's a Martha Stewart shit right there, guys.
All right. Well, on that note,
Global Force Wrestling.
What about Global Force Wrestling? What is the latest on that?
Hell, this time next year, we might be talking and saying Global Force Wrestling is the only game in town. That's what's scary about it.
That is a possibility.
God bless Jeff Jarrett.
It's definitely a weird time for pro wrestling.
It's just, that's the thing, like, it's just a level of uncertainty, but at the same time, I mean, I hate to say it, it's a perfect storm for a smaller promotions to really say, hey, if Vince is really, you know, if something happens to Vince, this is a good chance of the territories to click back up. I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. Relationship building, guys.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see what happens with that and possibly talk about it some next week. But until then, check gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com for upcoming events and other news. Check Wrestling with Pop Culture, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be back next Monday. Thanks for calling in, Larry and Chicken Hat Charles. We always appreciate hearing from you guys. And that's it for this week.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.